for this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, so that you may know him better. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and sealed him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way.
Oh, spotlights. I'm not technological, so I didn't think about scanning these and putting them up. Steve said we could have done that, but these are pictures of Maria, her story I'm going to tell today, and her son. So afterwards, if anybody would like to see who this is I'm talking about, I'll just put them up here so you can see. Next time I'll know. Think about these things. Good things happen to us all through life, and bad things happen to us in life. And sometimes that's our own causing, these bad things that might happen to us. We make poor decisions, and we do things that we shouldn't do, or we fall back on an old way of thought that we thought we left behind. Maria... I met her in El Paso, Texas, when we were living there, and she was in the jail, and some of you have heard this story, but I may throw some things out that you haven't heard, but she had been a home health care worker, and she worked in homes of terminally ill patients, and when they passed away, then she was moved to another assignment. Well, that happened in El Paso. She was in the home of this elderly couple, and the man had terminal cancer, and he passed away. And so they moved her to another assignment. And 3 months later, the widow of that man was murdered and robbed. Well, the police found the three men that did it right away. They found evidence, you know, that they did it. But when they arrested them, one of the men, by himself, accused Maria of being the ringleader, of planning the whole thing, because she had worked in that home, and she knew all about it, and so they did it, but it was really her that the blame should be placed on, because, you know, she planned the whole thing. So the police arrested her and threw her in the jail at El Paso and proceeded to search for evidence against her that she had some part in planning this. So Maria sat there for 3.5 years in the jail, waiting for trial. She hadn't been to court. She hadn't been proven guilty or innocent either way. 3.5 years, you know. It's supposed to be illegal in this country, but that's what happened to Maria. Well, I met her after she had already been in the jail for 1 year. And she had gone to a Bible study while she was there at the jail with someone else before I met her, and she asked Jesus to come into her heart. So now she was a Christ follower, which made all the difference. When I met her already, you could just tell there was something different about her. So after about 6 months of her getting to know me, she trusted me. She told me her story, this what had happened to her. And, you know, these things happen. Well, during the whole time, the 3.5 years, the police couldn't find any evidence against her. They kept trying to find things, you know. Well, the young man that accused her, he was the youngest one of the three men that did it. The other two were older, but he was only 26 years old. But turns out he was a cousin of one of her employers. So that's how he knew her name, and to try to put some of the blame onto her. And when the judge interviewed each of them individually, talked to each one of them, he was the only one that knew her name. The other two didn't have a clue who she was. So it's very strange, you know, how this was allowed to continue for all this time. But it did. Meanwhile, after I met Maria, she kept telling me to go meet her sons. And I didn't want to do it because I just felt uncomfortable going to meet the families of the inmates that I was meeting there in the jail that I was working with. I just felt uncomfortable about that. I never did that. But Maria just kept insisting. She wanted me to go meet her boys, and because they just needed a friend. So finally I thought, well, you know, I was nervous about it, but I thought, well, I was doing quilting, you know, with Maria, and she had made this quilted pillow she wanted me to take. So I thought, well, that's an excuse. I'll go take this pillow to her oldest son, Tomas, and because she told me the restaurant where he worked. And he was only 16 years old when she was arrested, and his younger brother was 14. And interestingly, both boys are the same ages as our sons, our two boys. It could have been our sons. You know, if that young man that accused her had known my name, it could have been me that he, you know, could have accused just as easily. But it was interesting. We had a lot in common. So I finally went to meet Tomas at this restaurant where he's working, and took him this pillow, and he found out who I was, and so that he knew me. He'd heard so much from his mom, so he felt like he could trust me. And so we developed a bond through this. I mean, he was going through a horrible time. If you can imagine your two sons being left all of a sudden, here your mom's in jail. She'd already been there for over a year by this time, year and a half by this time, for something she had nothing to do with. And so we kind of went through that together with him, and so we bonded. And his younger brother, Irving, we met a little bit, but it was mostly Tomas that I got to know, and his picture's up here too. But he just shouldered everything for the time she was arrested. He sold their house. She was a legal resident of the U.S. She had her papers, and she had worked there for 20 years in El Paso, never even had a parking ticket until this. She'd saved her money and was taking care of her disabled husband. Tell more about him later. But Maria was a very responsible person and just trying to take care of her family and provide and do the best that she could. So when she was arrested, then Tomas had to sell their home and to pay the lawyers, used all of her savings to pay the lawyers. That ran out. He sold her van she had used for work to pay the lawyers. They got everything. And when that all ran out, they didn't know what they were going to do, but the lawyers said, well, this is an interesting case, so we want to continue with this. Anyway, even though she couldn't pay him. So they did, supposedly. They continued. She saw them once a year. She would see one of them once a year. Nothing was happening. It's all very strange. But the family that, the wife that was murdered and the man who died, it was a very wealthy family in El Paso, and they had a lot of influence, a lot of pull. So I think that had something to do with this whole mess in the first place. But Maria, through all of this, her faith in the Lord is what really impressed me. Can you just think about that? Can you imagine being arrested like that for something you didn't do? I mean, that happens a lot, but she also sat in that jail for 3.5 years before she even got a trial. I mean, can you imagine what that would be like for a young mother and having your boys at home and your invalid husband who, he took his disability money to the casino. He could do that, but he wouldn't pay an electric bill. He never once went to visit her at the jail. Her husband had a mistress on the side, but Maria was taking care of all of them, providing for all of them, and she was against everything, you know. And Tomas was shouldering all this on himself to provide for his mom in the jail and working, and it was just seemed like such a horrible mess. But through the whole thing, I knew Maria for 2.5 years of that time while she was in the jail, and ever since, of course, I still know her very well. But for that time, I knew her all that time, and I knew her very well. And her faith was in the Lord, and she always told me, my boys are okay, I'm okay. She said, God has allowed this for a reason. You know, she taught me so much. I've never been through anything so horrible as what she faced, through no fault of her own. It seems unfair, you know, it's unjust. It's just not right, but God allowed it. You know, a lot of times, we don't understand what's happening in our lives, and it could be sometimes it's poor choices on our part. We cause things to happen to us, but sometimes things happen to us through other people's poor choices. You know, things come, but God, who put Christ as head over everything, like it says here, for the church, which is His body, God knows what to do with all that. See, I got something else in my bag here. And find it. I brought these. This doesn't look like much, does it? I don't know if you can even see them back there, but You know, just little pieces of chopped up fabric, you know, little pieces here. Kind of like, you know, our lives. And we little pieces in our lives. We have things that happen all during our life in this journey. And, you know, it doesn't look like much when you start out. But God, who has such great power for us who believe, you know, just like it says here in Ephesians, he takes these pieces and he makes, you know, something really wonderful out of our lives. You know, and it can have imperfections. This has imperfections. You know, I used some old fabric in this. I was learning, like we do in life. We learn as we go through life in our journey. But I used some old fabric in here, and when I washed it, it faded. You may not be able to see back there, but, you know, it has imperfections. There's faded. There's color bleeded into the white part. You know, it's not perfect. But I still like it. You know, it's still pretty. God does that. You know, he'll make something beautiful out of the pieces in our life. Well, that's what he did with Maria. Through this journey with Maria, her story is still continuing. After three years, it was January, after 3 years, a judge finally said, you've got to get this woman to trial. This is it. May 15th, you've got to have her to trial. She's been in jail too long. So that was going to be 6 months. It would be about 3.5 years. So Maria was so happy. She was so thrilled. You know, finally she was going to get to go to trial and be declared innocent and get to go home to her family after all that time. And a couple of months later, I guess it was February, March, around about March, that young man who had accused her went to trial before she did. He finally got to trial too. And when that happened, Maria told me, of course, he was going to trial the next day. Well, I said, well, you know, he's going to get what he deserves. You know, I admit that to you. That was not the right thing to say. Well, Maria reprimanded me. Maria, she's sitting in that jail because of this young man, because of what he did. He just wrecked her life. He caused such stress on the whole family. And Maria reprimanded me. She said, Barbara, don't say that. She said, I was thinking last night about his mom. I know his mother came up from Mexico for his trial. Can you imagine what she's going through? You know, it just blew my mind. You know, Maria taught me a lot. Let me read something to you also. Ephesians, this one thing after the other in here reminds me of Maria. It says in chapter 4, you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its evil desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Well, Maria was exhibiting that, you know, by God's incomparable power he gave her for that situation. And that's another thing she told me. You know, I told her I couldn't imagine handling what she's gone through. I just cannot imagine this. And she said, well, you know, God gives you what you need when you need it. You know, Maria, she was a new Christian. You know, I had been a Christian a lot more years than she had. But God was teaching her such truth from his word and sustaining her as she went through this. He didn't stop it. But he was with her as she was going through it, and she recognized that. And it was such a testimony, you know. Well, 3 weeks before May 15th, or 2 weeks before that, I'm sorry, I got back to El Paso, and I went to see her the very next day to see how she was doing, because I knew she was excited about this trial. And I walked in, and Maria was just very, very tense and anxious. And I said, Maria, what's going on? And she said her lawyers came to see her, and they said the district attorney was offering a plea bargain. If she would just plead guilty to possession of stolen property, they would drop the murder and robbery conspiracy charges. And the sentence for possession of stolen property was only 2 years, and she'd already served over that, you know, so she'd be out of the jail. Whereas the murder and robbery conspiracy, she could get 60 years to life in prison if she's found guilty by a jury. And they reminded her, you know, you never know what a jury's going to do. There's no guarantees. Even though they hadn't found any evidence, the stolen property angle, they figured out, was because that young man that accused her, they caught him with the stolen TV from the murdered woman's home. And he said, well, I just have it because I bought it from Maria. So, of course, there's no evidence she ever had it, but that's what he said. He's not. I just bought it from her. So they said, well, if you'll just say that you had that in your possession, just say that, you know, then we'll drop the big charges and just, you know, go with the lesser. Well, Maria was just, she couldn't understand why they were doing that, and they were asking her to sacrifice her integrity. She said, Barbara, if I do this, who's ever going to trust me again? Who's ever going to want to give me a job again? And I was just agonized with her. You know, I was just feeling this with her, just her pain. And, I didn't know what to tell her. I said, you know, they're asking you to lie, and that's not good. But you know what? Well, a week later, they came back. The lawyers came back again 1 week later, a week before her trial. And they said, listen, if you don't take this plea bargain, we're going to cancel your May 15th court date because we're too busy with another big federal case. We don't have time for yours right now, and you'll be sitting in this jail at least another year, waiting to get trial back on the docket. Well, that'll be 4.5 years waiting for your trial for something you didn't do in the first place, so you could go home. Well, when he told her that, Maria just cried and cried. She said, Barbara, it's just too hard. He said, I can't. He said, if it weren't for my boys, I would wait another year in this jail for my trial. I would sit here another year. She said, but it's just too hard. And she agreed to go and sign those papers saying that she had had possession of that stolen TV in front of the judge. And it was the hardest thing. I went to the courthouse to witness that. It was the hardest thing. Watching her, it broke my heart. Her signing her name to that lie. But you know what? Before she ever went there, I failed her too. Because my fear for her was greater in her in the hands of the authorities. My fear for her future in prison was greater than my faith in the incomparable power of God. You know, me too. You know, and I did not encourage her strong enough. I didn't, you know what I mean? I mean, I didn't encourage her strong enough to stick to the truth. Do not sign this lie. That would be against God's will. I didn't do that. You know, I let that fear of the authorities, the threat of prison, be stronger in me also, just like it was in her. And her sons were telling her to come home, and you can't blame them. You know, they wanted her to come home. Well, she did it. She was kicked out of the country like a filthy criminal, deported. She's now guilty of a crime, so she lost her resident papers. She's still in Juarez. After this crime was a lesser crime, you know, the possession of stolen property was just minor. And within 3 to 5 years, they should have been able to give her papers back, or at least a visa to come back to the U.S. Well, that's been 9 years now. Still hasn't happened. They keep refusing to give her papers to come back. She's still stuck in Juarez, Mexico. And if you've been listening to the news, you know what a wonderful place Juarez, Mexico is to live right now. With all the drug trafficking wars that are going on there, people being murdered just by the dozens all the time. It's very, very dangerous. So the boys are having to take care of her, help provide for her, because she hadn't been able to find a good job. She bakes cakes to help pay for some of her expenses. And Tomas pays her rent, her house over there, and goes over back and forth. Because the boys are U.S. citizens. They both work in the States, El Paso and in Albuquerque. So they try to go back and forth and see her as often as they can. But even that's dangerous. They're not always allowed to go across the border. So it's just very hard. This is still continuing. Her story is still continuing, you know. And I know a lot of it is because of the poor choices that she and I made. You know, I assume blame for that too. Poor choice. You know, we didn't stick to our guns about not signing this lie, you know. And she's paying for that. She's still paying for that. But God's still working on her story. But through that, Maria even sees, after she was kicked out of the country, we were back in Virginia. We had moved back here after she was deported. Then we were moved back to Virginia. And I hated leaving there. I hated being so far from her to support her. But God blessed us through that, through Maria being in the jail. And she'll tell you this too, but both boys, first the younger one, who I hadn't had very much contact with at all. First thing, I was out there on a trip, and I went to Juarez to see her. And Irving, the younger one, came over to see her while I was there, and we got talking. There was something in his life that was really upsetting him, and we talked about it. And he prayed and asked Jesus to come into his heart, the younger brother. Well, the next year, or might have been 2 years later, I kind of lose track of the time, might have been 2 years later, but Tomas, the older one, it was the same thing. I was out there on a trip. And I had made an appointment with him. He's a workaholic, you know, he's just been working. And that's, you know, Tomas could have turned his back on God. He could have been so angry with God, he would never come and believe in a loving God after what had happened to his mom unfairly. He could have gone that route, but he didn't. He always let me share with him what I wanted to about the Lord. He trusted me enough to let me say what I wanted to, and he didn't ever get mad at God because of us. I can't understand, I don't know how that happened. The Lord really protected his heart, I guess, or his mind. But 2 years after Irving accepted Christ, then Tomas did too. I had made an appointment with him to go see him at his apartment, talk to him about the Lord, and he knew. And so I went, and some company dropped in right when I was going to have this quiet time, you know, to share with him there in the apartment in El Paso. A company dropped in all of a sudden, and Tomas told them, well, listen, you guys make yourselves at home and watch TV what you do, but we're going to go back here to my study and talk. And I couldn't believe he did that. So, you know, we back, and he prayed and asked Jesus to come into his heart. And that's been several years ago, and it's a long process. It's been years of working on these relationships with Tomas and Irving. It's been years, but God developed that. He grew that to such a point that they were able to trust God, even with all that's happened in their lives, on working on this story, this quilt. They trusted God, and I just got an email from Tomas this week again. You know, I never really thought I would hear these words from his mouth or his computer, but he wrote, God's really blessing at work. At work, he's married. He has a daughter now. He said, God's really blessing at work, he said, and I'm learning what it is to be married. He said, it's awesome. Well, you know, this is amazing. You know, God did this. Well, Maria's still paying for all this mess. They're stuck in Juarez. But God is still working. He's still at work. He's still working on her quilt, on her story, bringing it all together. And there's always hope, no matter what's going on in our lives. God is still the one with incomparably great power for us, his children. He's still the head over everything for us. Jesus is. And he'll bring good out of whatever is going on. He'll work his quilt if we'll just be patient and not try to let ourselves get in the way and not go back to our former ways of thought of doubting God, doubting God's power, you know, and messing things up. A little sidebar there I wanted to put in that I don't always tell people, but Maria, the last year she was in the jail, she was having some kind of a physical problem. She was throwing up. She kept throwing up. I have these spells, and it wasn't like the flu. She didn't have fever. She kept throwing up. So they took her to the clinic in the jail. They wouldn't take her to the hospital. They take her to the clinic in the jail, and they just gave her pills to keep her from throwing up. That was it. So every time the pills would run out, within 3 days, she'd start throwing up again. Well, I went to the captain of the jail. That's another story. But God used him, even though he was not a believer. God used him for some reason to be behind me. And this, it was like it was my project of this quilting class with this woman was his project. It was so, so wild. But the captain, I knew he supported me in everything I did. So I went to the captain and told him what was going on with this lady. And he, while I was there, he called the nurse down from the clinic to ask her about this. Why haven't you taken this woman to the hospital? Because Maria and I were thinking maybe cancer. We didn't know. Something was wrong. She could tell. She knew something was wrong. Well, the nurse came down and she said, oh, yeah, we've taken her to the hospital 3 times and, you know, they never find anything. Well, that was a lie. That was an outright lie. Well, there was nothing else I could do. I didn't say that in front of the cat. I didn't say that right there in front of them. I couldn't prove it. But I knew that was a lie. Well, you know, God is greater than all these things. When Maria was kicked out of the jail, got back to Juarez, within 3 days, of course, she didn't have those pills anymore. She started throwing up. Her sister took her to the doctor, and they found out her gallbladder was the size of a large tissue box, like that, and it was full of gallstones. And they said, we've got to get this out immediately. So they scheduled surgery immediately, and I went over to the hospital. The doctor came out after surgery. He was angry, and he called Tomas and me into her room before they brought her back, and he... I hope this doesn't gross anybody out. He brought her gallbladder. Anyway, showed me. Anyway, showed me the last gallstone, okay? We're just going to gloss over that. But he showed me the last gallstone. It was as big as the end of my thumb. He said this one gallstone could have killed her. He said she should have been dead a long time ago. So I cannot believe what they did to her in what is in the jail. You know, let that go. 40 gallstones they found. 40. just packed. And the doctor asked me, he said, you know, Maria told me she wasn't having pain. He said, I don't understand why she wasn't having any pain with this. And I said, well, I know that's true because I was with her 2 and 3 times a week for the last 2.5 years. So I knew that was true. She wasn't having any pain. So I know the Lord protected her from that. from the pain of that until she could get out. He took the gallbladder out, and then she was fine from then on. Everything was solved, and she was okay. But that was just the Lord taking care of her while she was there, going through that mess. But I want to ask you this morning here, if you'll pray with me to ask God to bring her out of what is. That's my prayer now. That I know He's forgiven us, you know, for our lack of faith. I know He has. And it's so dangerous there, and it's such a stress on the boys. And now she has her little granddaughter that she only gets to see when they can take her over to what is to visit with her. And I wonder if you'll pray with me this morning, join me, and ask God to bring her out of what is in His time. If it's not safe yet, I know the family kind of had a vendetta against her for years after she was deported, thinking that was unfair. She didn't get what she deserved, you know, the victims, the family. And so it was dangerous for a while for her to come back. But if it's okay, you know, if this is the Lord's will, I wonder if you pray with me for Him to bring her out of that terribly dangerous city. And what isn't? Let her be reunited with her family again. Okay? Please pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father, Jesus, we know, Lord, that You know us inside and out. You know all about us. Father, You give us wisdom through the things that we go through in life. You help us to learn more about You because of these things, as it says in Ephesians here. God, we thank You for the things that You've taught us. Forgive us, Lord, for the times when we failed You, when we go back to old ideas or we try to resolve things on our own without waiting on You, without looking to Your power. Father, we pray, Lord Jesus, for Maria right now. I just wonder if it's in accordance with Your will, Lord, if You would bring her out of what is. Move the lawyers, whoever's immigration, whoever's in charge of these things, Father, that miraculously, Father, Tomas would get a call saying, we've got papers for your mom, even though they won't be able to explain it. They got papers for her to come out of what is back to the States. We just ask that, Lord, that You'd be in charge of that. And Father, if You desire for her to stay there for some reason right now, I pray that You'll give her safety and give her direction and guidance. Teach her, Lord, the things that You want. But Father, it's our heart's desire that You might bring her out now and let her be reunited with her family, with her sons and her granddaughter, that she can live in safety and work in the States and be a testimony, Father, of Your power and Your strength. I thank You so much, Jesus, for letting me meet her and this family and all that You've done over the years in this family. Thank You so much for the way You've worked those things together. Father, I pray that You might bless each of them and continue to grow them in You, Jesus, wherever they are. Thank You, Father. And for this church, I pray also that You will grow this church, Lord, in You. Help each of us to focus on Your power alone. Focus on You and let You work things out in our lives and in this church and just be glorified through all that we do and say. Father, grow us stronger. We thank You so much for taking care of us. We thank You for Your patience and Your forgiveness, Lord, when we failed You. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.